A special agent in charge, he tells USA Radio News it's not uncommon to have threats around Inauguration Day.
Well, during my 21 years with the FBI, I saw a number of inaugurations, and there's always individuals from different ideological groups that either make threats or make notice that they plan to do some type of demonstration or protest. And in response to that, law enforcement has to be prepared, no matter who's making the threat or potentially the impact of that threat.
President-elect Joe Biden set to deliver a primetime address at 7:15 Eastern Time tonight. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Working from home? I'm Chad Dodd, veterinarian and consultant to Limpbells. Here are some tips for keeping your dog fit while staying at home. Find 15 minutes twice a day and walk your pet at a decent pace around your place. Play hide-and-seek by hiding some kibble or favorite toys and letting your dog find them. If you have stairs and your dog is mobile, walk up and down twice a day for 5 to 10 minutes. Or better yet, try a power walk on your terrace or backyard for some fresh air. There are more helpful pet care tips at youmove.com, spelled Y-U-Move.com.
The House and Senate not in session on Thursday, but impeachment is still on lawmakers' minds.
With the House's impeachment vote on Wednesday, all eyes are now on the Senate to see what the next steps will be. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said he would not call the Senate back into session to address the articles, meaning the earliest the process would start is the day before President Trump leaves office. Senator Lindsey Graham called on President-elect Joe Biden to push for an end to the impeachment process. The South Carolina Republican told Fox News that the effort to remove President Trump was a divisive attack on the presidency.
To my Republican colleagues, let's stand up for the idea that post-presidential impeachments are bad for the presidency, bad for the country, and if we go along with it as Republicans, we will destroy the Republican Party. If we do it as a Senate, I think over time we'll destroy the presidency. So Joe Biden, if you're watching tonight, you have a chance to practice what you preach. You should call on Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and say, for the good of the country, President Trump will be leaving office on January the 20th. Let's stop impeachment. Let's stop it now.
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
Google admitted that it has run experiments in which it hides news sites from search results in Australia as it negotiates a new regulatory proposal with the Australian government. Google also under fire from some in the United States for banning Parler from its app store. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Good morning, or good afternoon, I should say.
Good afternoon.
This is Larry and Jeannie, home again, once again, after a long hiatus. How's everybody doing? I hope everybody's fine. We are a little strange here. We're in the chamber, and we're in the new radio dig. So if you don't hear us, send us a note on Facebook there if we have to turn it up or whatever. But we want to make sure that you're hearing us live here. And it's a new setup, so we're still learning, Jeannie and I, figuring out the buttons in the...
We got the plastic and we got
we got plexiglass, we got masks, we got mics.
And now is the time where I wish we didn't have video, audio. I'd rather be back to radio, audio with the mask on.
The funny part now is Jeannie and I could talk over each other all day long. Now without the mask, we don't know when we're talking.
That's right, yeah. But it is kind of cool to say the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is just such a resource for you all out here. If you've got a business, we are such advocates of the chamber, and they built their new business center, and so this is kind of cool because the radio station
is actually more like a radio station. We have windows on air stickers,
it's legit.
And if you haven't checked it out and your business is here in town or even anywhere in Hunterdon County, actually mine's based in Morris County, but I do business in Hunterdon County, the classrooms here are going to be great when we get back to seeing people and being with people. It's going to be a nominal fee. I mean, it helps the chamber survive, but it's going to be great. They have several classrooms. They have a small one, a medium one, and a very large one that you can sit lots of people here. And I think it's going to be a resource. So if you're in business here or if you're struggling, give Chris Failing a call. I mean, there may be some things the chamber can help you with. There are a tremendous amount of resources available to them and people they can refer you to, whether it's a bank, an insurance guy, a house inspector, a realtor. But, I mean, the chamber in most of your counties is a pretty good chamber, and you got to rely on them. A lot of people, they're well-known secrets, I like to say, because the people who need them most sometimes don't know about them.
Right.
But Jeannie and I are happy to be back. We haven't seen each other in a couple months. We're still doing business. As a matter of fact, Jeannie, my business boomed this year. I mean, about probably a third of it was people moving out of New York City.
Right, that's right.
And they're not moving out of New York City not just because of the COVID. They're moving out because of security. They don't feel safe with their families in the city anymore. Mm-hmm. That's a sad statement to make, but they don't feel like the police are able to do their jobs. And I know that's a political bailiwick, but when you hear these people say that they're moving from the city because of that, and I also think that people are realizing they can do their job from anywhere.
Right.
And well, they're figuring, why do I have to spend six figures to live in Manhattan to do my job that I always thought I had to do?
Uh-huh.
And now they can live in New Jersey for half of the money it costs to live in New York.
Well, I read somewhere that the average renter in New York City spends $5,000 a month to rent a two-bedroom apartment, $5,000 a month for two-bedroom, and that's there. Like there was like 15 million people who walked away from their rental leases because I could, and they didn't care anyway. Because that $5,000 with current interest rates where they're at, you could buy a $1.5 million home.
Sure, sure. And you know what they tell you? If you had money, now's the time to buy real estate in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And then what's funny about it is, you know, unfortunately, the people who have money are going to get richer because they're buying it at a fire sale.
Right.
Eventually, it'll come back. And, you know, then it'll be a price again, and they bought it at a fire sale. So,
well, you know what's funny, too? You mentioned something I wanted to just hit on. Where that you mentioned like a home inspection company, like your Home Team inspection company, my go-to people, you saw a dramatic increase in your business because of the fact that they were exiting New York City.
Yeah.
There were like the moving companies. They can't even keep up with you. People can't even move out of the city because they can't move their stuff because they don't have any moving companies. Like talk about companies that went into a positive mode instead of all the brick and mortars that we see so depressing.
Yeah, the sad part is it's almost like I tell people, and I don't want to equate it with anything more serious, but it's like survivor's guilt that I feel like my business is doing so well that and other companies are hurting so bad.
Right.
At the same time, my wife says, well, good thing that you're doing well because we're contributing back and hopefully we're helping the companies because we're still buying food from our restaurants.
Yeah,
we're going out when we can.
Stimulus in your own.
I'm employing, I have an employee now this year, so I have a licensed inspector employed.
What was his name again?
Jared. Jared's a great guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
He got licensed and he's doing well. And so we're doing it in the team approach. So we're in and out a little quicker.
Uh-huh.
We're in and out of a big house in 2 hours, you know, and we don't sacrifice the inspection either. So we're still doing a great job, and that's what that. But you're right. I mean, I look around and I see this, and you know, you're worried about it. Jared and I sometimes we kid. We don't wish the end of COVID in one way because there's no traffic.
Right, right.
I get on Route 80. I could be in Parsippany in 12 minutes. I mean, on a normal 8 o'clock morning, to get to Parsippany by 9 o'clock.
That's crazy.
It's an hour.
It's crazy. But if we go back to the first week of when it all happened, and it was like you were living on the planet Earth without any other people. It was just silent, eerie silent. That was
The highway. You're on an interstate that's usually packed at 8 o'clock in the morning. There's nobody there.
Everybody's working from home.
And the other problem was everybody's doing 80 miles an hour now. And now we're getting back to having traffic, and people still think they can do 80 miles an hour. And
I think I've always thought that you could go 80 miles an hour.
And I think the troopers are losing. I think they give you a lot of slack when there was nobody out there.
Yeah.
Now they have less patience because.
Oh, that's true.
So people slow down, make it a little safer for all of us. And I find that my truck is graphic. I have to be a little careful because my phone number's on the side of it. So it's not like you can say, oh, that white pickup. You have my phone number.
Yeah, that's like walking, waving for a ticket.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, that. Somebody call up and say, hey, what are you doing? You know?
Right. That is funny.
But,
yeah, well, another business I thought that was very interesting that was just sad but true is the fence industry. Because of all of the craziness, the fence industry, where they were supposed to be going out of business, and it was so terrifying, and they ended up being busier than ever, too.
Yeah.
So and there are a lot of industries that have been crazy. What about all the delivery of foods and stuff?
And in the supermarkets selling food faster than they can get it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can guarantee you, ShopRite's not hurting this year.
No.
Because the markets are always full, and people always, you know, they're panic buying.
Yeah.
I mean, remember the beginning, though, the paper towels and the toilet paper.
I have had.
Can somebody explain to me the fear of not having toilet paper? Because I tell you what, like, I have a shower.
There's people who, I'm serious, been at their house listing, walking through open closet / huge $1 million house with room full of toilet paper.
I've inspected houses where I'm like, there's like 200 rolls of toilet paper. I'm thinking, now I know where I'm going. But I don't understand. If I have a face cloth and a shower,
uh-huh.
Seriously, I mean, not that I want to use it, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But it wouldn't be the first thing that I worry about.
Right.
So I don't know.
It is funny because in particular is one thing when I saw it, talk about survivor's guilt or something. This person was actually embarrassed because she felt like she was the person who actually caused all of the supply issues because she bought all the toilet paper.
I wish I had stock in Lysol because I haven't seen a can of Lysol on the shelf. There's a can of Clorox.
But
I haven't seen a can of Lysol on the shelf at the supermarket in I don't know how long.
And you know what else is never on teriyaki sauce. I swear to you, Kekkoman's teriyaki sauce has been off the shelves in ShopRite. Absolutely 100% not there. Since March. I don't know. I have to look just to see. There's all this other stuff, and it's like, it's gone. It's so weird.
And just so to recap, if you listen to us for the first time, Jeannie's a real estate agent here at Weikert Realtor in Flemington.
Hello.
One of my premier agents down here. And she does a great job for her clients. And then I do home team inspection. We come to you every week now. This is going to be our time slot for the foreseeable future. From 3 to 4 on Thursday. And we talk about the house and anything related to the house. Selling it, buying it, listing it, fixing it, safety things, the market in general. And Jeannie and I basically alternate weeks usually because that way because we have businesses to run ourselves. We're doing every other week basically, and then we double up on a fifth Thursday or so. But so that's what you're getting. But today you're just getting me and Jeannie getting back together after being away so long. I feel like I'm in prison. I mean, there's a plexiglass sheet in front of me. I feel like I got to put my hand against you. Jeannie.
Are we allowed to talk? Can we hold hands?
There's a little cutout, so you're like, hey, pass me the file, you know? But it's what we got to do, I guess, to get by. And the 100-inch chamber is doing this to keep everybody safe who's using this. Because I worried about coming back with the microphones and the hand touching and the boards. But, I do home inspections in your house, and we take precautions. We wear masks when we're inside. There are times where I'm outside, I take it off because I'm out in the middle of the yard by myself. But when I'm in your house, I'm with that, and we avoid touching things we don't have to, but we do touch things, and we tried with gloves, and it really wasn't working in a sense that you were touching anything anyway, and things were coming off and on, and it's very difficult sometimes to take things apart when you're doing that. But we try to do that. What we ask of you, to tell you the truth, if you're listing your house and you're selling it, you have to vacate it. Too often we show up and they say, the kids are in school, they're in their bedrooms. Well, I can't inspect their bedroom with the kid in it, and you don't want me in there with your child, tell you the truth, because God forbid I am contagious. I don't want to be in there. So, let's avoid each other as best we can. I know it's not possible all the time, and we've worked around it where it's not. I mean, we've had handicapped people who can't move, and we ask them, they stay in the room until we do the whole house, and then they move them out, and we do that room. But
I think just to mention that, if you're out there, when you're thinking of selling or if you're selling and your home inspector is there, I think it's really important that they do understand if you're providing a service, like you are actually being paid for by the buyer
right.
to come through and check every single thing and end up with 95 pages of line items.
Oh, no. It's only 40 pages, dear.
Either way, it's overwhelming to the seller. They think that they're going to jail, okay? And then the buyers have paid for this information. I think it's sad about COVID that it's almost to the point where that you go into the house and go through it with a fine-tooth comb, and the buyers are staying outside where they used to be able to walk with you and right. learn so much about the house, which I think
the only people we allow in, the buyers do come in with us sometimes, but we only allow the immediate buyers.
Yeah.
We're trying to, some people would show up with their aunt and uncle and right. their father-in-law, their brother-in-law, and their kids. Mm-hmm. And we ask them, I said, listen, let's just respect each other. I don't know, in personal opinions aside, because I don't know if I buy all this mask and glove, but at the same time, I respect other people's home and their feelings and the ability for me to possibly be the contagion. But, we watch who we're with and we watch things. But you got to understand, you're selling your house and somebody's making the biggest investment of their life. Expect me to look in your closet. Expect me to... Don't get upset when I have to move your clothes out of the closet to get into the attic hatch, because I'm going to get into the attic hatch, because nobody's going to buy a $500,000 house without looking in the attic.
Of course.
I mean, I've gone in attics and found whole families of raccoons living there, never mind mold, never mind things that you didn't even know about. I mean, I've had things where electrical connections are all wired together backwards in the attic. So we're going to get there. We're going to get in all those nooks and crannies. We're doing it with respect. I don't pass fail a house. I mean, and I don't judge a house. One of the things we're very cautious of, and Jared and I are always saying, you know, you look at the, we don't look down our nose at people's living situations because you never know what situation they're in.
Exactly. But I can say, to your defense, as far as to promotion for Larry here at Home Team Inspection, you're a deal maker, not a deal breaker. And that's a really important part of having with when you have a transaction going on where that you're not, you know, snooting out to the sellers and trying to alarm people and terrify the buyers.
Well, Jeannie, you've heard me say it before. A lot of home inspectors think their job is to pass fail the house and tell them whether to buy it or not. That's not my job. Mm-hmm. That's your job.
Right.
My best tool, and you've heard me say it, is a good agent. Because if you've prepared the buyer for the condition of the house, I mean, if they're buying a fixer-upper, then it's no surprise that they may have some water damage in the attic, or they may have the loose toilet, or the garage door may be broken. Mm-hmm. It's the couple that I show up and they think the house is perfect, then I start listing things that are wrong, and they're like, oh my God, they turn white.
Yeah.
Then it's a bad match.
Right, right.
It's not
right.
A bad house.
Right.
It's a bad match.
Right, exactly.
Because if you find the right couple who's going to get the house for $50,000 below market and is going to put $40,000 worth of elbow grease in it and have a $150,000 house for, that's the perfect match.
And to that point, in the real estate economy right now, they can't. It's a seller's market.
Right.
So it's like, I'm sorry, but if you think you're going to be able to nickel and dime and you know hold our sellers hostage right now, you're wrong. We are in desperate need of inventory.
Because the seller will say, oh, too much. I'm going to the next guy on the list.
Yeah.
Because I had two bids.
I just want to make a note to people out there, if you know someone who's looking to sell their home, do not tell them to wait. This is the time right now, this month of January 2021 in Hunterdon County, New Jersey, in Somerset County, New Jersey, in Morris County, New Jersey, and surrounding areas, Hopewell and Trenton. We have no houses. And it's not just, you know, it's
I saw something yesterday in Morris County.
COVID.
There was something like half as many new listings as there were closings.
Yeah.
That means they're
like
drying up the inventory.
Five buyers for one house, and the seller has, you know, this
but then again, be realistic, and that's where the agent comes in a sense, and that's where we talk about home team, and it's a team approach. I go in there, and the other day I had a client, and they said, listen, we agreed to only material defects. Now, in New Jersey, a material defect is anything that affects the value of the house, mm-hmm. the health and safety of the occupants, and the resale capability. Mm-hmm. So basically it covers everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everything is either safety or it's a money issue. So it's hard to say, but when they say that, they mean major things. They don't want to be talked to. But you know what? Then they got in the house and they were pointing out scuffs and floors.
Oh, yeah. No.
And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not putting
zip
that
it
in
up.
The,
zip
they
it
wanted,
up there.
They wanted me to put in the report that there was excessive dog waste in the backyard. Now, granted, we pointed it out to them because they were walking around. I said, don't step in the dog.
Yeah.
But that's not a part of the house inspection. It's
right.
not, you know, that's a minuscule, it's a cosmetic item.
Right.
So that's where the agent literally comes into my book. And you know, and we have some agents tell you to roll your eyes when you see something. I can't unsee it.
Yeah.
I'm only reporting what I see.
Well, it's
now, granted, if you, I think the mistake you see is some guys, oh, my God, look at that. Holy crap, you can't buy this house. No, that's not my job.
Well, it's interesting when you think about right now being a seller's market versus a buyer's market. A buyer's market is when there's 50,000 houses out there and they get to pick which one. And if they decide to walk away, there's another house for them.
Right.
So they have control and they can, you know, take every little detail. But that's just not the way it is right now.
Yeah, I've had couples that put five bids in and lost all five bids because they got outbid.
Literally,
I felt bad for them, you know?
I was driving last, I want to say March, early March, and I had my customer. Every time we got to a house, this is just when COVID hit, within 2 hours, the house was already sold, okay? Now, I drove all the way out to like a Mercer area, showing the house, walking around. The owners were there, and the whole time we're walking around getting ready to make our offer, they were already getting an offer on their phone. He didn't even tell us this. They didn't even have a bid war. They just took another offer. And so when we were driving back to Flemington, I was driving on the highway, and I saw somebody putting up a for sale sign. It was one of the contractors to put up the sign. I pulled over, and I said, please, let me show this house. And we walked in. We were lucky, got the agent. She said, yes, go ahead. We walked in, and we went directly back to Weikert office and went over their asking price and put in our offer.
Wow.
And I can say another thing. Someone called yesterday because you're going to a townhouse, a condo next, right, to do an inspection.
Yeah.
Someone called me yesterday and said, can you show me what properties are available in Hunterdon County in the $230,000 range for a townhouse? and I pulled a search. There was nothing, okay? And then...
Now, in this area, there's got to be 6,000 condos.
You would think. And I put it up. I went up to 250. And I had 27 listings come back. And of the 27, and there was an A, which is active, or an A with an asterisk. Means it's under contract in attorney review. And there were only three that were left active. That's how crazy. And they've only been on the market 3 to 5 days. And people keep saying, sorry, I want to tell everybody this. Mm-hmm. When I'm talking about this all the time, they say, there's so many for sale signs everywhere I drive in New Jersey. Everybody's leaving New Jersey. All the media that you read, it's all talking about everybody's leaving, right? I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of signs out there, but they're under contract still. So the signs stay.
Yeah, but I mean, if somebody's leaving, somebody's buying.
That's right.
Because they're not vacant.
No. And people just, because they see the sign and they don't see that it's gone, you know, or the sign's gone, they think it's still there. But it takes, you know, 60 days to close a deal. Right. But the minute it's done, if the agent doesn't put under contract on top, because they don't have to.
Yeah, but they can only do it with permission now, I understand,
correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and some people don't want to put it under, because I've had customers that are taking offers right through attorney review.
Of course.
Which in the past, you know, the courtesy was, okay, you're going to stop taking off.
Right.
But now they're still taking them right up to the last chance they get. And I've had people actually cancel, like, literally you find a light switch and they want you to fix the lights. No, we're canceling the contract. Because they have another bidder and they got $10,000 more.
You've got a home to sell. Call me. No. Mary will be in charge of the inspections and we'll find you a buyer.
So we're going to start off with personal, but how's things personally in a sense? Everybody healthy at home?
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Mom and dad? Mom, okay?
Mom,
dad
is fine.
Oh, good.
Both moms.
She's in Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah, I have mom 80 years old in Hokados and mom 90 years old in Lambertville.
Okay.
And both are fine. And both, thank God, have not gotten it. I'm amazed at both of them that they were able to go through like at least 8 weeks alone. Completely alone. That was really hard for.
Well, and I tell you the truth. Some of the people, like my mother-in-law, follow two doors down from me.
Oh yeah.
And they're still in my house all the time because we consider ourselves one family, even though it's two buildings.
Right.
But at the same time, we're trying to tell them don't go to the store. We'll go to four of them. They're 82 and 80 or 81 and 82 and in picture health.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take much. But I mean, the common flu could drop them too. So
right. Yeah.
It's just common sense. I think you try to. But at the same thing, you know, my mother-in-law said to me, she said, Larry, if I've got to live 3 years in my house locked up, I'd rather die this year.
I was right up that with that.
My godmother, who lost her husband last year, lives up in Massachusetts in a 55 and older community, and they were all isolated in their little houses, you know. Mm-hmm. And she's like, Larry, it's enough of this crap. She says, I'd rather live this year and die than live alone for the rest of my life. I mean, I only have so many years left.
Right.
You know, there's something about that, a quality of life.
Agree.
I mean,
still
now, can you be reasonable in both?
Yeah.
And I think that's the key.
Yeah.
Let's pick and choose where we go. I mean, am I going to a Giants game in Meadowlands? No, I'm not going to a Giants game right now. You know what I mean?
No.
Well, nobody's going to a Giants game.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't go to an NFL game right now. I wouldn't go to a hockey game right now.
Concerts.
But would I go to a restaurant and sit down and have dinner? Yes, I will. You know what I mean? Will I go to a
bathroom? I'll tell my story. Yeah. I was going to tell my story.
All right.
You told me to tell the story.
I'm afraid
to tell my story. Anyway, okay, so I had a client that came to me that wanted to buy a home, and they're first-time buyers, and basically they were getting married in October, and they had taken a haul out in Hunterdon County that they planned, you know, for their wedding, you know, a year ago. Every time the rules changed, they'd have to comply with whatever the rules were, so they got to the point, it was 1 month before the wedding. They found out that they could only have 25 people at the wedding. They had 100 on their list. And they couldn't kiss the bride or groom. And they weren't allowed to
dance. Wait. What are the bride going to do that night?
Yeah. And this is the rule. And they couldn't dance together. And I mean, I get it. And like you said, it's very personal how people are. Some people refuse to wear a mask and they walk in a store and say,
that's selfish.
There's extreme, you know.
Right.
But then there's the rules, and then there's the terrified people. My kids are terrified. Like they're like 23 and 25 and a half. And they're really, really terrified, okay? So anyway, and I'm glad they are. They're protecting it, whatever. But point being, so I was selling the house and I said, you can have your wedding at my house. You can have it outside with social distancing. You got the tent. You got the budget. It was really low, by the way, because there was like nobody doing anything. And so they did. And we had a little tent put out. They invited 100 people. This is interesting, too, because normally 20% of the people don't come. But because of COVID, it's 50-50 because half of them don't want to be around. Half of them want to get out, and they don't care about anything, including dying. So we literally spaced out the table so far, and we did the social distancing. Everybody signed their forms and everything, and it was just a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And they got to dance and kiss. And hello. They were fine. You know, thank God. We got some great video.
I mean, you know, see, I think it's very personal with respect for each other, I think, and it's a delicate balance.
It is.
I mean, like you said, whether you buy the mask or not, I don't go into Walmart without a mask.
Right.
I don't go into Quick Check without
right.
a mask.
Right.
Not because maybe personally I'm not worried about it, but I don't want to insult. I don't want to make anybody else's anxiety any higher than it needs to be.
Right.
And so let's be courteous of each other yeah. and respect each other's
and,
distances.
And protect our parents and stuff, like if you don't feel good.
Well, and if we had a serious flu outbreak, mm-hmm. I think we'd protect my mother, father-in-law the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So really, you know, that doesn't change in some sense. But at the same time, I mean, I understand we're doing it. We're sanitizing in and out of this yes. place. We're wiping everything down. Guys, we have mics that we throw away the covers.
An hour delay in between.
Between so we can clean the desks and the keyboards and all that.
Yeah,
You know, so let's just take a step back and look at each other and stop the craziness in a sense, and let people make up their own mind to some degree too.
Can I say something about the process and how the process changed? And again, thank you for asking on a personal note. Everybody's great. When in a year ago today, if someone wanted to go out and buy a house, they would call me up. I would meet them there, and we would open the door and go in together, check through the house. Seller would not be there. We would go back again a second time, probably with mom and dad or whoever, check it all out again. And then we would get under contract and call you. And then you would come out and do the inspection. And then 10 months ago today, my job completely changed. It was like, hey, okay, you want to see 75, you know, Pleasant Run? Okay, I will go by myself over there. I will sign forms from the seller that I will wear my gloves, my mask, you know, sterilized, no clients coming with me. I walk through the house and FaceTime by myself to them. And then I would tell them to tell me how they like it, have any questions. And I wouldn't be with them either. And then I would tell them to go by at night and drive through or whenever they wanted to the neighborhood to see the property outside and to be able to see the neighborhood. And if they like that,
then
we would go back and I would meet them there. Stand like so far away, open the door, have permission by the seller either to let them walk through by themselves or for me to walk with them.
Yeah, but keeping
the distance. Seriously. And it was like, and then they couldn't bring mom and dad and everybody else in there. It would have to, they would FaceTime their mom and dad outside. And then we would go back.
You know, and I try to do virtual. We did a couple where we did virtual inspections where we, but you know, it's very difficult to do a quality inspection if you're trying to get a camera angle on everything.
Yeah. It's amazing I mean, how
you know,
it was, though.
It's hard enough for me to see to get underneath the furnace and see the burner chamber other than filming it. You know what I mean? It's just not possible. And I'd probably have to charge double. I mean, I tried it a couple times. And the only way it works is if we do the summary on video.
Oh,
at the end,
cool.
We'll do that. If people, like, we had a couple people
cool.
that their wife was pregnant and she didn't feel comfortable, that's fine. So we did the summary at the end.
Hmm.
And anything that we had really that was significantly wrong, we did have we would show them that so they would know what they're talking about.
I love that.
I actually think that, you know, having an open house is less risky than opening your house 13 times. I mean, I never realized this until I think it was you that explained it to me. I mean, if you open your house and you have to disappear from your house for 4 hours on a Saturday and 10 people come through, that's 20 hours of visitation that you didn't have to go through.
Right.
Because there's not two people at a time coming through for an hour and a half each.
And it builds up the amount of your asking price because everybody's looking at each other going, right. You got to get back and make an offer.
No, but even if you space them out, I mean, the thing is, now you got to clean the house once, but you got to clean it anyway. Because no matter whether one person comes through or 10 people, you're going to clean it.
Absolutely.
Comes down to touching your face and washing your hands and making sure people take. We wear booties. We wear booties before this, and people are surprised.
That's right.
We always carried. They're not even disposable. They're reusable, and we spray them with this mold away, which is actually a disinfectant that actually kills 99.9% of all viruses, it says. But I have no idea whether it kills.
It's like this particular strain. Yeah.
but it kills. It's like Lysol. But we wipe it out because we wear that because we don't want to dirty your white rug. I mean, I wear work boots, and the last thing I want to do is bring mulch in from outside or that dog do and walk across your white carpet. I mean, I know what my wife would do to me, and I don't want anybody else's wife doing that to me.
Well, I want to just say something about open houses because it's interesting that you say that. I was on a Wakert call, Zoom call meeting, Zoom meetings. That's something to talk about.
Yeah.
And they were telling us that this is probably back, I want to say maybe October-ish, that a normal open house on a Sunday would bring in like something like 10, if you're lucky, groups of people, which is like a husband and a wife would be considered one group. They had like 75 people, groups, come through Jersey City on an open house. Can you imagine?
On 75?
75 groups of people coming through on this one popular, I think it was October. And then they were showing how when it comes through like Montclair and that area by Short Hills Mall and stuff, that would normally have, say, the same thing, maybe 8 or 10 people on a Sunday. It had 24 couples. And then it got all the way out to Hunterdon County, and it was like normal. If you got five groups of people, it would be great.
Well, when you had inventory that's much bigger,
you could get
people are spreading out all over the place. Now you have 10 homes in the area. Guess what? Those 10 homes are going to get hit hard.
Yeah. But you're right.
But again, it goes back to guys. If you really want to stay healthy, you have to be willing to take the chance of exposure.
Yeah.
But you want to take steps to protect yourself. Don't be home when we come. There's nothing more uncomfortable when I have to look you in the face and your 8 and 10 year old kids are on Zoom on class, and you're saying they can't move. Well, listen, I don't want to be in there with your 10 year old. Not that I fear your 10 year old. It's I just don't want to be there.
I have to ask you this question because as a real estate agent, I really want to know the answer. It's my observation is that when the seller's home, when you're doing the inspections, they almost try to sell you on why this is this way or that
way.
And it's like you're the expert.
There's two kinds of people that are home.
Okay.
People that are home that don't bother you, uh-huh. that stay out of your way, mm-hmm. and they can answer a couple of questions, which is very helpful
That's
sometimes,
helpful.
Especially
You're
if you have
right.
a complex home with multiple systems.
Okay.
I mean, I had a house with 5 air conditioners and heating systems. I didn't know which thermostat control, which one, and they were very helpful.
Very good.
But they disappeared.
Right.
Then there are other guys that follow you around, and you're looking at a window and it doesn't open. And he says, oh, no, it's all fine. And he goes over there and he starts playing with it. And I'm like, I don't need that. You know,
yeah.
I mean.
No. I think they don't. I think they do themselves a disservice. I like what you said about being available. Like I like that. That's a good idea. Go walk the dog or something.
Or sometimes it's available by text, so they can answer a question. Yeah. Like I couldn't find a water meter. The water meter was behind a picture.
Remember that bar. Light switch was in the one house that we couldn't find forever. Right. It was behind a mirror in the bathroom or something.
Right. Right. Oh, the GFCI.
Yeah.
The GFCI for the hot tub was behind it was like a towel rack.
And that was helpful.
But it was in a weird spot because I would have looked there if it wasn't. But I had one the other day where we couldn't find the water meter.
There's nothing makes
And they said, oh, take the dog, the four dogs playing poker off the bar wall. And it was up high.
Everybody has
which was interesting that the hatch was up high, but the water meter was still down low. So you had to stick your head in the wall to see the water meter, which was in itself another issue, but at least they could find it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's two kinds of sellers. The ones that stick around and then the ones that follow you around and tell you everything that why it's the way it is.
It just makes me crazy.
That's, and people don't understand also legally. It's very difficult for me because I'm not allowed to talk to the seller.
Oh, really?
I'm not allowed to talk. I'm not supposed to discuss anything I find with the seller.
Oh.
Now, I have polite courtesy conversation, but I don't go into detail. Like, if I see something like a bad electrical box, I don't say, hey, your electric box is bad. But I've had conversations where I had gas leaks.
Uh-huh.
I had electrical problems that are really serious that I'm bound by our standards and practice to let the seller know. And usually I have to let the agent know who has to let the seller know mm-hmm. because we want to protect people. You have a gas leak. I don't want you coming home and not knowing it. Yeah, we tell them. And if it's serious, I'm shutting the gas off and we're calling the fire company if it's that. But a lot of times it's very small leaks that are normal. They're not normal, but they're common. So you're right. But it makes it a lot faster. And then when you have an agent that's dual agency, now for you that don't know, that's when you're selling it and buying it and your agent's the same one. It's a delicate rope you have to walk because you can't be an advocate for the seller and the buyer. You have to be neutral. You have to be Switzerland, I guess, right?
Yeah, Switzerland.
And I'm not supposed to discuss, like, the report's going to go to the buyer, and you're going to see it, but then you got to walk that line because you can't take one side or the other. And to be honest with you, my report becomes a negotiation tool.
Right.
I don't do it for that, but it does because you're going to look at it and you're going to say, okay, I can live with those things. The house is priced right, blah, 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 you know. And that's fine.
Right.
And but I don't want you to find something after you move in and they say, oh, my God, I didn't know the furnace was 35. I had one the other day. It was a gas furnace that was literally 65 years old.
Oh, my God.
Still running, still working, but it's 65 years old.
So what'd you do?
No, it just goes down. It's working.
Yeah.
It's 65 years old. But at that age, I recommend an HVAC guy look at it because he's got to take it apart.
Right.
Because I can't see the inner guts.
Yeah.
And the inner guts could have been totally replaced. I don't know.
Do you use a drone for...
I don't use a drone. I use a camera pole.
I'm just curious.
When I need a drone, I do use one of your guys, Clint
Strober.
Clint
Strober.
When I have a roof that's three or four stories or slate...
Clint is the best.
I use a professional roofer.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, I have a 40-foot selfie stick. It's the world's biggest selfie stick. It's a fiber and carbon fiber camera. I find it's easier than a drone.
Oh, really?
Now, I have a drone. I just don't have my FAA license yet, which, by the way, if you do it for money... You have to file and you have to get an FAA pilot's license for a drone.
What?
You have to register your drone. You have to pay insurance. You have to pay registration.
Wow.
And then it takes you 10, 15 minutes on a good day to get pictures.
Uh-huh.
And depending on the house, if it's in the middle of a field, it's easy. But most of the houses have trees and other things around. You could damage the drone. I've had a home inspector tell me that his drone blew into the trees and he couldn't find it. Now, what do? You can't stop your inspection. Go look for your drone.
Right.
I find that it's, you know, they're great tools and I think they're worth their weight when you need them. 95% of the houses I do with the pole, I get perfect pictures of the roof, the chimney, and everything else. And then I walk the roof if we can.
Did I tell you my story about the drone? That's a funny story for people out there that may be perplexed by this issue. About 3 or 4 years ago at Christmas time, my neighbor, his kids gave him a drone. And he owned 100 acres around the property. So basically, he would have this thing flying around. And basically, it would keep crashing. And for whatever reason... Our car that had auto start on it, the drone would auto start my husband's car. And my husband would say, stop starting my car. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, you did. You just wanted to warm it up because it was winter. And I'm like, I did not. And until the drone crashed in our yard, because it was always just a little farther away, we never knew that was what it was.
Yeah.
It was going on, but it did. It auto started our car.
I mean, I love the idea of drone, and I probably will get one eventually.
I think that's really interesting what you said about that with the FAA and all.
Yeah, well, and you have to file a flight plan.
Wow.
And now it's electronic usually. It's not a big deal.
Huh.
But it becomes a big deal as you get closer to Trump National when he's in town.
Yeah.
And I don't think that stops it if he's ex-president. Maybe if they throw him out of office, I don't know. But I don't know how that's going
to
happen. They've already impeached him, but I don't think they're throwing him out. But we'll see what happens there.
Mm.
But, I mean, he's got Secret Service protection, and they're always, you know, there's certain things. And around Morristown Airport, it can be sensitive. Even though you're only 30, 40 feet up, they still.
Right.
But I tell you the truth, the hurricane that hit in September, I was in Morristown, and we put the camera up with an umbrella on it to get pictures of a roof.
What?
In the rain.
Wow.
And it worked perfect. The only trouble is when the wind blew, it looked like, Jared says to me, you look like Mary Poppins. I thought you were going to take off with it because I actually tape an umbrella on the end of the pole on top of the camera.
Cool.
And I get great pictures of the roof even in the rain, which
in
a drone you wouldn't do that.
No, that's so funny. Yeah.
So it has its benefits, but it has its drawbacks too. But we still get on the roof when we can, but we also safe. We don't climb steep roofs. We don't climb slate roofs. We leave that to the professionals. I mean, OSHA wouldn't like it if we're on too many places. But the view from up top, by the way, is totally different than what you see from the ground. So that's why it's important to get the angle down at the roof. And also the top of the chimneys where 90% of the damage is.
Hmm.
But so that's what we do there. But it's interesting you say about the COVID thing. I mean, in the wedding, though, I mean – I don't know. I mean, I don't, you know, I just think people got to make their own decisions.
They do.
We can't dictate. It baffles me that they, you know, they always allowed you to go to the liquor store, but they won't let you go to church and sit 6 feet apart.
But they deliver from the liquor store.
Oh, now. I know.
You have any idea how many hours
are
back
in my
life?
Yeah, but I don't know. I have not been in a liquor store since COVID came out that wasn't crowded.
Oh, it's packed. But it's true. They do deliver. Central Liquors over here, so it's so
funny. Well, I think they all have permission to do different things.
I'm so happy about
that. I just find it's funny how certain things are allowed and certain things aren't. And then
if I knew that the tent that we had that the couple bought was going to be there from Friday until Monday, I can guarantee you, by the people who were calling me and stuff, I would have had a comedy show or a fundraiser on Friday night packed. The wedding on Saturday and a brunch or something or some kind of music
craft
festival.
Fair on Sunday.
Yeah, whatever. And it would have been packed because there's certain people who don't – they just will – they'll follow the rules, but they want to be in. And then there's people who are like, I don't care what you do. I don't want to be around and I don't want to see it and I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah. It's funny how it all connects though too because you know, people – the one extreme – I think the extremes on anything, just like on any subject – are out there because there are people saying, well, what I do, I can do anything I want. Well, you know, what you do does affect other people.
Right.
So you have to have some kind of media, you know, middle ground. And I think that's the case. And you got to look at where your audience is. You know, you go to a, you know, I have a friend who's you know he's not senile, but he has a mental it's progressive aphasia. Basically, robs your ability to speak and talk, and it manifests like a full blown senility. He's been in a bed for 2 years, and he's really for longer than that.
Wow.
But I want to go see him, but I don't. I used to see him once every 2 or 3 months. Now I won't. And it's sad because I don't. I mean, I have a friend who's died last year, was a fire inspector in Mount Olive, and I want to stop by see his mother, but I won't. I think that's the sad part we're missing in being human, you know? I mean, I never thought of myself as a touchy-feely guy, but I guess I am in a sense. not in a bad way. but I want to see people, and I want to be with them, and I want to have dinner, lunch with them and coffee. I mean, I'm coming down here. I call my friend Chris, who's a police officer down. I wanted to say we'll have a cup of coffee. You know, we'll sit in the car 6 feet apart.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, it'd be nice to sit down with him and catch up with him.
What about like the holidays? My husband and I were alone in our house, and we didn't see hardly anyone throughout the entire holiday season.
Well, it's funny with us is it didn't really much change
because
our immediate family and my wife's sister. But you know, my nephew is a third year resident, and you know, and he's exposed every day, but. Mm-hmm. He's safe because they do the precautions, and he keeps reminding us about it.
Yeah.
You know, you worry about it all.
It's just weird. Like, so many patterns have broken that just because it's been so long and everything. I used to visit my girlfriend, Lisa, every day at 4:30. We have a glass of wine or whatever, 4:35.
4:30 wine, wasn't
it? Yeah, sorry.
It was
the only time we could get it in because basically the husbands would come home or whatever, and we'd have to make dinner or whatever. And so I never apologize for that.
But no, you were what drives me crazy is, what's broke, though, is now the shots, you can get it if you're obese. So guess what? I qualify for that.
Did you get one?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet, but I can.
Okay.
They tell me I found out today. My wife is in support coordination for people with disabilities, and you know, she's familiar with the stage one. But you can get it if you're a smoker. Smokers are in the first group.
What?
Yeah, because they're more subject to the – but wait a minute. So –
What?
So now we're going to reward smokers. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. You know what I mean? And then I heard what was happening in the hospitals.
I quit smoking.
But then I heard what's happening in the hospitals is that they're throwing away doses at the end of the day because they're only allowed to give doses to certain people. Well, they're supposed to give it to the list, but they ask for ID. Like what I learned with my son, he's in a group home. If he was to show up and make an appointment, they can't ask him for ID to prove that he's disabled to get a shot. They have to give you the shot. They're not allowed to check. The places that are given the shots are not ID checkers. You know what I mean?
Really? Is that discrimination or something?
No, it's not. It's just they're saying that you can't. No, just because they're not supposed to. How are you going to prove that you're a healthcare worker? If you take care of a handicapped person at home, there's no ID that says that's what you do.
Wow.
And my son lives in a group home.
Wow.
And they want to get they're going to get the house inoculated, and it's going to be tough. I mean, to get a shot, my son usually takes about 6 of us to lay it down, hold him down, to get a needle anywhere near his arm because he sees it coming. Mm-hmm. He won't wear a mask. He won't tolerate a mask. Mm-hmm. So they don't. He hasn't been out of the group house other than come home a couple times where we kind of isolate. Mm-hmm. Like in 9 months.
Yeah.
What kind of quality of life is he having? I don't know. But, I mean, again, we got to find the middle ground, I think. And I think we got to, you know, hopefully the vaccination is the answer.
What about those kids and the airplanes and stuff and the babies?
The two-year-old, that airplane made no sense to me.
Those stories, I just can't imagine. I feel so bad for the parents of young kids because, I mean, it's got to be so hard.
Well,
they're getting used to
it. How about kids at home with school? I don't know how they're doing it.
No.
How are they? My wife would be ready to kill my kids.
My mother used to say, it's not my job to be a teacher. I'm not a teacher. She used to say, like, get on the bus and get out of my face. And then I grew up in the same way. So it was like, kids, get out of here and get to school. I don't really care what you're doing as long as you're leaving me alone.
Well,
I couldn't.
That's not good healthy either, dear. I was on the board of ed, and we had a lot of parents that thought it wasn't their job to get their kids' education.
My older one was he was born to serve. Teaching the little one, you know, how to do the homework. Because I didn't even understand that they count like this nowadays and stuff. Did you ever see that? There's some kind of math that has to do with this.
I don't know. I went through Chicago math and everything else, and I don't know how they come out with the numbers. But, I mean, when I saw how my daughter did long division, I was like, I don't know how you're doing it, but it's the right number. But I did it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm telling you, my son, he knew, the older one knew this. And I would say something like, okay, the question is, what's 1.5 million divided by 17.8? Six. What is he doing? I can't imagine being a teacher at home.
No. Well, I tell you, I
have a sister with 10 kids.
Well, 10 kids.
10 kids. And they actually were terrified. As soon as we heard about this, I opened my pool immediately, April 15th, a month and a half before, because I figured those kids need something to do. And they're not, it's going to be freezing, but they don't care about that. And they're home. They got to get out. So when they would come over during that time, literally they were so afraid of being busted because it was a 10-person thing and they had 12 in their own family.
But it's family.
And
you know?
We would order pizza and they'd bring over like 7 pizzas or something and the kids would hide. They were and she had all of them, including her husband, home from March to current. The husband works from home. She works from home and all the kids are home. Now, tell me how you do that. And she has a job working from home.
Well, and not only that, 10 kids in itself. I don't care if we have COVID or not.
Yeah.
She's a saint.
By the time she gets done talk about this feeling like jail. When you go to her house, if I'm babysitting or helping, it's like a school line, like slop on the macaroni.
No, I was going to say it's a cafeteria line.
Yeah, it's like a cafeteria. And then they have to do all the dishes, and then they have to start over lunch again. By the time you get done with breakfast, you got to start again. I don't know how she does it, but she's really good at it, and they're adorable. And that was really funny when they were hiding. I'm like, why are you hiding? They're like, we're not allowed to be around people. Tenant or Max in the family.
But they all sleep in the same house.
Yeah, that was a huge, beautiful house. But it's funny because it's crazy.
Yeah. You know, you listen to something. I don't. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Oh, what a year.
Yeah, it's crazy, guys. I mean, I'm sure you guys all have your stories. Maybe I'm going to have a story. We have a call in or something.
Should.
Take calls in from people to COVID stories. What's nuts and what's not. And I don't want to belie the negativity either. I don't want to be insensitive. There are people that lost people. There are people that lost multiple people in the same family. There are people that lost young people that shouldn't have gone.
Right.
It shouldn't have happened. The susceptible people, unfortunately, any sickness is that problem. But, I mean, if you lost somebody, there's no consoling. There's nothing we can say. And I don't want to sound cold.
And
we're getting a few lash here, guys, but I really don't want to.
We're laughing about crazy.
Yeah.
About how crazy our lives have been turned upside down. And then when you even consider losing someone, it's just.
And then the other thing is, and the sad part is with our government and the status where it is today, and you guys know I'm a conservative. I'm not a Republican. I'm a conservative because I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican. I'm a conservative guy. I like your views that way.
Yeah.
I vote for people. I don't vote for parties. But I don't have any trust in my government right now. I have no trust in my media right now.
None. Terrifying.
And that's scary because I don't care. My sons and I have different views on things, but neither one of us can trust what we're reading or
Isn't
hearing.
It terrifying? It's really and
even
frustrating.
Murphy, like he says, you have a right to protest, but not this week.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, why this week? But it was okay last week. I mean, why can we burn down cities, but we can't protest? You know,
right.
I don't understand any of it.
I don't either. All I do know is I do agree with you on the fact that when it goes to checking out the news, I don't trust anything.
I'll say to my son, see what I'm talking about? He goes, that's been debunked. Look at this. And I'm like, and then I read the other side that he shows me, and I'm like, holy crap.
I know.
And I'm like, wow.
And people are like sending me all the messengers all the time, showing me these people and these things, and what they are saying is happening is completely opposite. And whatever it is, I'm like, really? How do you know if it's real? I don't trust it at all.
The only thing, the memes are the only thing that make it funny. When the guys were clapping the Capitol wall and they were playing the music from Donkey Kong.
Oh.
And the guys were climbing the wall and then one fell off. They went, I was like dying.
That's terrible.
I mean, it was terrible.
Terrible.
And then the other one said, this proves that the wall won't work. This proves
I didn't see that.
They showed all the guys on the wall at the Capitol. Yeah, they said, this proves that walls won't work.
I'm like,
if you don't laugh, I think you end up crying.
Oh, God, yeah.
I hope my listeners, and it might be 5 years, it might be 50 years, but I hope you don't think we're really taking sides on one side or the other. We're trying to laugh at life is what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, well, I want to laugh. This is terrible. This is something that I think people will be like, I can't believe she just said that. But, okay, since it's home inspection, home with Jeannie and Larry, I was actually at a house today and was talking about having the for sale sign post put into the ground. And I was on the phone with the post installer and they said, well, we need to have like 2 weeks or so because we got to come over and check the utilities. Oh, by any chance, do you have a dog fence there? And I was like, I don't know. So I asked the seller and she said, yes, I do. And she showed me the line, right? So when I went back to the office and I was talking about the delay in the dog fence and stuff, we got into a conversation about the first time that I put my dog fence in. And it was so funny because they said I was going to need a ditch switch and all this stuff. It's like 500 yards to build a round. I wanted to do a big round circle so that the dog could play anywhere. And so long story short, it wasn't a ditch switch. There's this little machine that you can get at like Fusco Rentals, and it's like a sewing machine.
Yeah.
And as you push it along, it opens up.
It vibrates, and it opens up a slot, like a knife slot.
Yeah, and it drops in the wire, and yeah. then it kicks it
they
back.
Do, they do the same thing with gas lines and everything else now, yeah.
It's the greatest thing! And it was only like $100 to rent from Fusco's, and I was done with the 500 yards, other than my kid having to untangle the wire, which is why he moved to Austin, Texas. But anyway, it only took an hour and a half. It's so funny. So it was like Christmas vacation because you have to start and you put it in an electric, you know, where it's electric, and then you come out and then you go around in a full circle.
And you reconnect it.
And then you put it together and plug. Right. So we got done with everything. And then basically it wouldn't go on. And it was like Christmas vacation because about 4 hours after freaking out, I walked over and turned the power switch on and all of a sudden
you're plugging
the dog,
it out.
And
you're
the dog. It works. And then for about 3 days.
Jeannie's wearing the collar when it happened.
I swear to God, I forgot to take the collar off. I used to take him for a ride, and he would look out the window, and the bankers and everybody would always give him a bone. But when I was pulling out of the driveway. But that was scary. Like, we both learned quick. And then I swear, that dog, he was so cute. He passed away last year. But he would go, he knew we would start ticking, and he would sit down. He would never go anywhere.
You know what's funny about that? I had a boss that did that, and you know what he did? He took the flags after he trained him outside, and he put them upstairs in the bedroom doors.
What? I'm getting a puppy tomorrow.
No. The dog learned when he saw the flags. That's where the dog fence was, right?
That was the dog fence.
So when he saw the flags upstairs, didn't went in the bedrooms.
I was telling my office.
He kept them out of the wood floor rooms.
That is so smart.
Just by putting the flags. And then you can actually run the dog fence in the house on the basement floor. If you want to keep them out of certain rooms.
What?
Because it goes through the floor.
This is awesome.
But the biggest thing was he said it was the flags. He put the flag up in the bedrooms, literally in the doorways, and the dog stopped because he thought he was going to get jolted.
I am so happy to hear this because
you can keep them in certain rooms. And then eventually you take the flags away and they know.
And they don't go. Well, my dog Rocky, I swear, once he got that zapped, which they say it's only like if you're like going like that on the ground, you go like that and pinch your person, but it teaches them. The funny part about it was, I swear, in the first day, because he was a baby, he used to go across the street to a police officer's house and poop on his yard. And that's why we had to get the fence. But when he first got the, wah! I'm looking to say. And then one day, the first beginning, he got past it. And he sat there, he just looked at us like, I'm not coming back. And so we turned it off and brought it back. Along at the end of the day, we would throw a frisbee, I swear. He'd be up in the air and he would be down.
But hey, well, let's talk about home again. Some substance today other than just make fun of each other.
Yes.
But you're checking the utilities out. I never realized you need that even to put a sign in the ground because, you know, I've actually put a realtor sign in that fell down and I put it back in the ground and I didn't just put it back in the ground.
Oh.
But I put it back in the general area where it was, so maybe I'm safe. But, you know, I had gas put in my house recently.
Oh, really?
And they put gas in the street, so awesome. I ran the meter up to. But they told me they were going to tunnel, and they didn't tunnel. They did use a ditch, which they ripped open my lawn. They cut the sidewalk with a K-12 saw, which they said they were going to snake underneath, which they didn't.
Did they charge you for that?
No. Well, as long as you hook up within a year and you have a certain amount of BTUs, the hookup is free.
Wow.
Now, if I don't hook up within a year, then you're going to hit with $2,500 for putting the gas meter in.
Yeah.
So I'm committing to my fireplace and my water heater because I'm changing that anyway.
Nice.
They were digging the street. They ripped open my water line, ripped it off the main, so I had no water to the house, and they had to put the water company had to come fix that because we had a gusher and all that. But, I mean, the point of this whole direction is if you're going to dig in your yard and you're going to dig any substantial, anything short of a potted plant, you can call the, I think it's 1-800-DIG, or there's Dig Dug or something like that. You look it up, you can Google it. They'll come out and mark utilities. The utility companies, you have to do that. Otherwise, you're liable for the damage you do.
Right.
You cut your electric line, not to mention you get electrocuted, but you could be liable for several thousands of dollars to repair that electric line. You cut the water line, you could be charged for fixing that water line.
They don't tell anybody that, and they just say don't do it without calling. If they told me I was going to be responsible for damages, I'd be calling and I wouldn't care about that.
Yes. They'll come out and mark it. They put flags out. They did mine. Mine is still marked, and it's not bad because I'll spray it, and that way you know where they are for a while.
Cool.
But you got like in my yard, I have telephone, cable, electric, water, sewer, That's five items coming into my house. And you know what's funny thing is they all come in one corner of the house.
Wow.
So it gets very congested up near the house. You know what I mean? Yes. So you got to be careful. And my water line, they said in the street, should have been like 3 or 4 feet down. It was only 2 feet down when they scraped it off the main with the backhoe. That's the reason why they never expected it that high.
Wow.
But either it changed or they you know, because of the hill, it was just that way. But just in caution, if you're going to dig in your yard, you're going to put a retaining wall in, you're going to dig anything serious, look it up, call them, they'll come out, they'll unlock the utilities for you. And that way you can do it. I don't even think they charge you for it. I think it's a free service from the utility companies pay for it.
Interesting.
But it's a safety thing, so you don't end up getting hurt.
Right.
So, and I didn't realize you had to do it. I put my mailbox in. I never checked.
Yeah. No. I just learned that today. Yeah. They never said it
before. I always thought about it deeper because, you know, most things are down at least 18 inches. I mean, most things. My cable's right on the surface because the cable they put in with a spade, you know. They lifted up the sod with a shovel and tucked it in.
Yeah. Well, the dog fence thing was only about 3 inches down.
Well, the dog fence is really not electric, you know. It's electric current that triggers the shock in his collar.
What?
There's a small.
We only have 3 minutes.
Yeah, there's electric charge in the fence.
We only have 1 minute.
In the wire that goes around the yard, it's a very small charge.
Yeah. Because
that's not what's shocking him. What's shocking him is the battery in his collar.
What?
Well, he's not connected to it, so how do you think he got electrocuted? I mean, he gets a shock in his collar because his collar's got a battery with a shocker
in
it.
Okay.
So that's not connected to the wall.
That's interesting.
What that does is trigger the sensor,
so it
puts out a low voltage signal that triggers the collar.
That's,
and you talked about I've had people where somebody else's dog fence was triggering their dog's collar.
Yes.
And stuff like that. So it all depends on where you're at. You're in your farm, I don't think that's the case because you're all out there by yourself in the fields.
Yeah.
Jeannie, are you going to do next week or am I? I'm hoping you're doing it because I think I'm.
I'll do it.
Yeah, but Jeannie's going to join you next week. She'll either have a guest or she'll have a topic. We're going to try to come back to you weekly on a regular basis, but hopefully we can.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully this thing works out.
Hopefully you enjoyed our show today.
Yeah, it's a little crazy. It was more of a test because we want to make sure we could run the system because I don't want to have a guest here and be embarrassed when I can't get them on the air.
Right.
But if you have topics, send me – Jeannie's tagged on the call too, so you can look up on the Facebook and send it her. But if you guys got topics and you want to think that we should have or guests, let us know and we'll do it.
That would be fun. I would love it. We'd love to know what you'd like to hear about.
Well, thank you very much, Jeannie.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Hey, everybody be well. Stay safe, huh? And be well. That's the important thing. Because one thing I did learn is nothing else matters but your health.
Yes. And Happy New Year.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Jobless claims are rising. The Labor Department reports 965,000 Americans filed for first-time benefits last week, up 181,000 from the previous week's revised level. Bankrate senior economic analyst Mark Hamrick telling USA Radio News.
We're showing since late August, so that's not moving in the direction we want to be moving in. And I think they can be both at once shocking, but not necessarily surprising.
President-elect Joe Biden set to deliver a primetime economic address on Thursday. He also tweeted on Wednesday, in a bipartisan vote, the House voted to impeach and hold President Trump accountable. Biden continues, now the process continues to the Senate, where he hopes they'll deal with their constitutional responsibilities. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Rockstar Radio. Did you know this station, this network, is looking for their next rockstar broadcaster? That's right, we are. And it could be you. It could be you interviewing the guests, talking to the newsmakers right in the middle of everything. Have you ever dreamed of being a rockstar show host? Now could be your chance. Together with this station, we'll help you with it.
USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Major League Baseball is pumping the brakes on rumors surrounding the start of the season. The league released a statement today saying they haven't asked any government officials to approve a plan that addresses the season getting up and running. The statement comes after unnamed sources said games would be played in Arizona with no fans. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
At the American Veterinary Medical Association annual convention in Washington, D.C., I spoke with Dr. John Howe, AVMA president, about One Health.
One Health is really a collaboration between physicians and veterinarians or public health officials. For example, in Minnesota, our state public health veterinarian deals with zoonotic diseases, rabies, for example. Animals are sentinels for humans, and humans are sentinels for some infections in animals.
There's more valuable information at avma.org.
An estimated 175 million Americans will get stimulus checks directly deposited into their checking accounts over the next 2 weeks. Now, there's still a lot of confusion regarding people who do not file a tax return, especially elderly Americans. David Cerner with AARP says there has to be a quick way to get money to people who don't file taxes.
We already know from the serious number of questions we've gotten from people, how do I get this, what do I file, what do I do, that there's a lot of confusion out there. We want these payments to be done automatically.
According to Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, elderly Americans will not have to file tax returns.
The president authorized me to say that anybody that has Social Security recipients won't need to file a new tax return, and we'll have that. If we don't have your direct deposit information, we'll be putting up a web portal so that you can put that up. It is a very large priority. The president has made clear we want to get this money quickly into your hands.
A possible light at the end of the tunnel regarding the coronavirus. With the details, here's USA Radio Network's Robin Walensky.
Some signs of progress in fighting the coronavirus in terms of flattening the curve. Still, many more people expected to pass away in the U.S. In New York City, Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo says the number of hospitalizations down slightly. Michigan and Louisiana still seeing their numbers rise.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
You're listening to WHCR-DB.